Oh, yes. Welcome to the Stoke It Up podcast, everybody. A podcast encouraging you in your journey with God. I'm Alan Stoddard, and I am your host, and we are here with Team Chosen, Renee on the bottom, Tim in the middle, and of course, Elise on the top next to me, and we're going to reflect some on Season 3, Episode 6. I cannot believe we are this far along in this thing. It's awesome, and I hit these guys up, and I said, let's jump on and do a short podcast on what our favorite scenes were from Episode 6. So guys, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for jumping in here at the last minute. Love you guys and appreciate you guys. Now let's jump right in. Elise, what were your favorite scenes or messages that you want to bring up tonight?
Wow. So, I mean, such a powerful episode. So I think that one of the most things that stand out to me would be the change that we're seeing, again, I know I brought up last time in Gaius, that we're really seeing he's not wanting to tear down the tent city. He's really wanting to help people. Like, we're seeing that change, that softening of his heart, you know? And I think that's just so powerful. And, you know, it's that slow pull that he's feeling, you know, and it's a beautiful thing to see. And then that emotional ending was just, I'm going to get emotional just talking about it. You know, finally, that conversation, Eden finally saying what happened. It was such a powerful conversation, and those expectations too, yeah, about what she expected to happen when, you know, the homecoming happened, and, you know, to be able to even share what happened to her. So I think those two really stick out in my head.
Tim.
Yes. Well, I have to agree with those, of course. The whole thing, I know I'm reminding myself back to the cleanse episode is the one that really struck me when she touched the hem of his garment on her faith and him telling her, you know, your faith is what's healed you, the same as the boy, Jairus, I think is his name, and his daughter being healed. But yeah, they're all so good. They all just kind of blend together because it's part of the Bible. Continue to watch episode after episode, we see real enactments of what we've already read and cherished, and our hearts have been sealed with these truths.
Yeah, that's awesome. Renee?
Yeah, I'm going to share about Mary and what's the lady's name again that played with her?
Rhea? You know? No,
not Rhema. Oh, my gosh.
The lady with the jewelry.
Yes, the lady with the jewelry.
What's her name, Elise?
It fell on my brain. It starts with a T.
Tamara.
I'm going to look it up.
Tamara.
Yes.
Okay, that was it. Tamara.
Good job.
Anyway, I watched it twice. And some of the things that I did not get in the conversation, I got the second time that I watched it. And at first I was like, what's the deal? What's Mary's deal? What's she so upset about? Man. You know? And she was comparing her gifts compared to what was her name again?
Tamara.
Of what she had. And for them to actually be able and talk about it. And Mary was like, your strengths are my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And just hearing that, that's sometimes what we do in the church. We think that we should be able to do the same thing that somebody else is doing. But when the body comes together, everybody's got their own gift, and those gifts are what's used for the body of the church. Does that make sense?
An elbow can't be an ear.
Exactly. Exactly. And one of the other, the very ending did really move me. I really had tears there. And what came to my mind was being able to see Simon and Eden have those issues is just like of not communicating and expecting the other to either read the other's mind and know what's going on. But it kind of made me think that, once again, that's exactly what goes on in the world today with married mm-hmm. couples. Is we, you know, sometimes we put those expectations on the other person to read our minds, and they should know what's bothering us, you know? Yes. But that really moved me. I will say, though, that I did laugh at the remark that, Barnaby. It wasn't Barnaby. It was the guy that was blind that was healed. No, speaking.
Oh, yeah. The guy that gave his name.
Yeah, they didn't give his name. But yeah. Didn't he say, you are king of the universe, or you are the son of God? He made this big, bold statement, and he said, not yet. Or let's not.
You are him. You are him.
Oh, yeah, but there was a part that he said,
the Lord Jonathan Rumi playing Jesus says, mm-hmm. Let's keep those big titles out of the way for right
yes.
now.
Big titles. Yes.
Big titles.
They're trying to draw essence to the times where we read the Bible and we ask this question. It says, go and don't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. And we're scratching our heads going, are you serious?
Right.
Now they're trying to tap into that because they're doing a good job of bringing that crowd and the Roman government and the religious hostility all together, and they're trying to play on that. I'm really enjoying that part. That's pretty good.
Pontius Pilate, he was so young.
Yeah, I was like,
I saw where Dallas Jenkins answered about that. He said that mm-hmm. there's nothing that says his age.
Right. And that he
doesn't. Well, make him a 14-year-old.
Those guys were young back in that day. Leaders were young. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the one that stuck out to me was the top one. There were a lot of top ones, as you guys know. But when Shula is healed, I did not see that coming. Matter of fact, I would have thought that's not going to happen because he's already said, hey, James the Less, we're going to keep you with that thorn in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to glorify me through that thorn in the flesh. But when the Shula thing goes down and he heals her and she receives her sight. And then Barnaby says, she says, what about him?
Yeah.
He immediately says, this is not about me. This is about her. I picked that up and I went,
wow,
that is the way we should do ministry. It should be about focusing on other people, making them important, making Jesus' story in them important, instead of it being about me. That spoke to me big time. Well, of course, you know, it was hilarious the way he, you know, hugs him goodbye and the Lord in the story heals him. That's just interesting.
Now,
yeah, and he goes, no, he goes, there it is.
That's what he said. Yeah, there it is. Yeah,
there it is. Like,
he starts dancing around.
Yeah.
Well, what is the chosen these days meaning for you with your walk with Christ, guys? How is it stoking you up? How is it really encouraging you? Like with me, I can tell you, I'm barely watching anything in on TV. I just have no desire for anything. I'm not saying there's nothing going on. I'm not against it. But I think sometimes I take out way too much of my time with other stuff. And right now I'm just in a season where I don't care. I just put it on to have noise. That's my thing now, just to have noise. If I want noise, I'm either listening to some Christian music, The Chosen, or somebody teaching in a podcast. And it's helping me saturate my head and heart with just the Lord to keep me focused. I just feel like that's a season that I'm in, that I need to really stay close to God. And so it's funny how this show has become a slice of that pie, because usually it was just Christian music or podcasting. Mm-hmm. Now I can keep it going on my phone all the time.
Right. I am so enjoying it, and very eager and full of anticipation, you know, before it comes on. And I love it. I just love it's good, clean, no curse words, no nudity, no, it's good, clean storytelling. And I love it. And it's, and I, what I don't like is I don't like the way that Dallas is, you know, the critics, the religious critics are attacking him. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe they're the ones, I don't know, but maybe they're the, I don't know. I'm going to say it, but I don't know. Maybe they're the ones who don't take the Bible so seriously. What's the big deal about him making a show about Jesus?
I think their biggest thing is that what was he supposed to do? Go from one line to the next and make a movie out of every single line in Luke? Or can we say, hey, we're going to have some stuff here where the paralytic man was healed. And then what did they do? Well, no, they went straight to the next guy and he healed him. No, he didn't. He had dinner and exactly. They walked around and they shared the God. Come on, people. You got to imagine. Where's your imagination? Right. Live a little.
Right. Yeah.
And I think this movie has driven me, changed me in the, I probably was a little servant sent anyway, but before even the Son of Man came to serve and not be served and give his life for ransom for many. When I saw Shula and him, I went, was weeping. I'm like, just to say, it's about you. It's about you. And she's like, no, you. And he's okay. Yeah. He's satisfied. He walks away knowing she received her sight.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, there it is.
Yes. And you know, one of the other things that really moved me was when Jesus bent down and called the woman daughter.
Yeah. Oh.
That meant so much to me.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was.
He's like, you, what you just did for me is what he said to her, because her faith, he's like, if we could get this kind of faith in all of these people, my job would already be done.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you think?
Great faith.
Yeah, no, I agree with what they're all saying. And in that instance too, tying to, you know, she seeked him out and she had so much faith in him. And then even if you go back to Barnaby asking for help, out of his selflessness, because he was like, I care so much, you know, for my friend. And I know I've seen what you do. And I believe, without seeing, she believes because she was blind, and he knew that. And they came and asked him. And I think, even though, Alan, you mentioned you didn't think that he was going to do it, it was going to be like the situation with James. I think the key was that, one, the faith, and two, the fact of asking for it. And yes, James asked too, but it was like a different situation. And I think that it's about, you know, coming to God and like seeking him, asking him. I think that's kind of what they're pointing out. Not that God, you know, answers every prayer the way we expect him to answer our prayers. You know, we come to God and we ask for something and we have to go about it the right way. Because if we're like, hey, this is what we want, how we want it, that's not approaching God in the right way. And I think it's important that we seek God in the right way. And I think caring for someone else is the right way. And, you know, I think that's a kind of like a beautiful example of not being selfish, you know, coming to God in a selfless way. So I think that was a beautiful thing, you know, and
asking it will be given.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, and as far as like what it's doing, I agree. Like, as far as like, there's nothing wrong with secular, as you were saying, Alan, and I see so much less of the desire to even watch anything, you know, or like even the books that I get from the library or audio books or podcasts, I'm going to Christian ones, you know, versus anything else. And so it's just, again, that saturation. And it was even like you before this season started, just eating it up, you know, wanting to just grow closer to God and just dig in.
I'm sitting there also thinking about how I was a late adopter of The Chosen. It had been out for a while. I think most of the first season was out before I jumped on it. Matter of fact, it may have been in between the first and second season.
It was into the second that I started.
Victoria Eddy gave me the DVDs. And I started giving them out. I started watching. I was like, wow, this is amazing. Well, here's the thing. And we'll pick the conversation back up. But in my adult lifetime, this is probably the coolest Christian thing that I've ever seen. Other people have done things. There's Christian movies. Probably the Irwin guys, the Irwin brothers and their movies, they're outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
But even the Bible series, it was good, but this blows it off the map, to be honest. Yeah. The production, the connection, the context, the humor, they're outdoing themselves. I keep saying it, that they're trying to do an impossible task. I think Dallas mm-hmm. will get to heaven and the Lord will say, you didn't get a lot of that right. Well, he can't get it right. The contextual,
I wasn't there.
The contextual things that you know happened in that culture, so that's mm-hmm. where he's safe.
Yeah,
But the contextual things are the ones that are the applicational things that relate mm-hmm. to us. And what happens is it's a reflection. We start to see ourselves in the story. They mm-hmm. are mastering that. It is unreal how good they're doing that. And unchurched people are seeing that. I read something the other day or saw it on social media where Joe Rogan has looked at it in some kind of way and said, you know, he thought it was pretty good that it wasn't all hokey, something like that. Some guy came on his show and said there were millions of hits on the show or something like that. So it's influencing unchurched people and it's a good show to watch.
Yeah.
So is this the episode where he says he does the reading? Isn't this the one where he does the reading?
No, that was the one before.
Okay. I'm like, gosh, I watched them all consecutively and I haven't gone back to it. Watched them all again. So they're all just in my head and just, you know, when he says a prophet is not welcome in his own hometown.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these scriptures, they just come alive in your mind as the scenes start to unfold. You're like, oh, this is that part. Oh, it's the woman that's bleeding for 12. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
You know, on a kind of connected parenthetical reference, as we stop tonight, is Brianna started watching The Chosen. She had not seen it yet. She had not seen it. And I'll tell y'all, that girl is on fire right now. She's having revival. I mean, that's a probably that's a awesome. Whole different thing, but she is devouring her Bible. She's going to church all the time. And she's just calling Gina, crying about things of the Lord. And it's pretty awesome to see. Well, she's watching The Chosen and she's going, wow. And so she's really serious about these things. Well, look, we're going to pick this back up right after the next two episodes come out in the theater. We'll be doing another Chosen and on here, the Stoke It Up podcast. But I want to thank you guys for coming on tonight. And we hope that you as listeners will watch The Chosen. If you have not watched it, you should binge watch it. You should just keep watching it and get put yourself in the story and experience where you are with the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, we would want you to know the Lord, and we want you to cross the line of faith. Christ did die for our sins, and he rose again from the dead. And he said this, repent and believe. And that's what we've done. And that's how we're on this podcast even tonight. And so if you're looking for something to fill your soul, Jesus is that person. He's the only one that can do that for you. And so we encourage you to cross the line of faith. Again, guys, thanks for being on here tonight. Appreciate you guys, and I'll see you next time. Amen.
Okay. Amen. See you later.
Amen, guys.